Jason Spezza, Andrew Ladd, Mike Richards, Milan Lucic, Eric Stahl, James Neal, Jordan Eberle, Taylor Hall, Logan Couture, Tyler Seguin, Jumbo Joe. The list of Canadian hockey players that are not going to Sochi reads like a dream team for most NHL general managers. That's why we at Puck in the Head today are going to talk about the all-time greatest snubs in Team Canada history. Jason Carello, I'm here with Pucked in the Head, and I've just had my picture taken by my good friend and colleague, Chris Withers.
Hello, Jason. We just record so infrequently these days that I wanted to record the moment for posterity.
A wonderful, wonderful idea. It has been a long time since we've recorded. It has been an even longer time since I've actually taken a recording and edited it and then published it.
Yes.
I believe we have 8 separate podcasts that we have actually recorded, but when I've gone to edit them, admittedly, several months later, they were hopelessly out of date. So with my lovely wife and child being out of town for the week, I'm expecting I will actually edit it this week and have it on the air, on the internet, in time that we don't look like total chumps.
All right.
Only partial chumps.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Yes. So, of course, the big news right now is all in preparation for the 2014 Olympic Games in Sochi, Russia. Hopefully no one will be exploded or bombed or stabbed or otherwise killed.
I was just going to say, a death pool might be more interesting than a point pool.
Yeah, scary, scary situation. So let's talk about something that's a little less terrifying.
It actually doesn't terrify me.
Well, it doesn't terrify me personally. However, it would be a shame if a bus containing people like Drew Doughty and Sidney Crosby and Roberto Luongo were to be exploded.
I would be upset if Luongo got injured, but Drew Doughty, he can get exploded for all of me.
Oh, my goodness. Did you just say that about Drew Doughty?
On air.
You know how I feel about Drew.
He's your crush, isn't he?
I hate the Los Angeles Kings, of course, the dirty, rotten, stinking Kings. However, Drew Doughty's a stud. That Tim Hortons commercial with Drew Doughty made me cry.
Oh. I often put my foot in my mouth in spectacular fashion.
So it is quite amazing, seeing as you are not the most flexible fellow.
No,
it's quite amazing to watch, actually. It's a production.
So I will not actually be surprised now if something quite terrible happens to Drew Doughty in Russia.
And if that happens, I'm going to come to you to find out how you feel about the whole thing. Going to Russia, of course, we have a pretty spectacular roster, as do several countries that are going. I mean, Team Sweden just looks amazing. But we wanted to talk a little bit about the players that did not get on the team.
Right. Because that's what everybody talks about every...
Of course.
So, every time a roster is
announced.
That
long list that I gave earlier, Taylor Hall, Jordan Eberle, all those guys. Also, Corey Crawford, Stanley Cup winner. Doesn't get a lot of respect because of the team he plays on.
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Marc-Andre Fleury, whom you despise.
I don't despise him. I think he's highly overrated.
You despise him.
Especially by you. I think he's highly overrated.
I think you hate French speakers. That's what it is, isn't it? You hate French speakers. Yes? No? You're not going to admit it, are you?
I have a deep and abiding love for La Belle Provence.
I believe nothing you say.
And the people who inhabit it.
I believe nothing you say. Dan Boyle, not going. Steve Mason, had a pretty good year. Mark Methot on defense. Chris Letang. Claude Giroux, not so long ago, christened the best player in hockey.
Yeah, there are one or two guys on that list who I would consider snubs.
You
believe that Claude Giroux is the biggest omission on that team.
Yes.
Talk about why.
Well, because he's French.
Right.
Sidney Crosby has a long history of making everybody around him better.
Yes, that is true.
I do not think that Chris Kunitz is as good as Claude Giroux.
But Chris Kunitz has an awesome name that could easily be made naughty.
So you want to take Chris Kunitz to the Olympics because his name sounds like a bad word for vagina.
Yeah.
All right.
In Kunitzian fashion. Come on, that sounds great. In Jerusian fashion, doesn't even work. It doesn't work.
No, but Giroux sounds a lot better than Kunitz.
I don't know. I kind of like the Kunitz one.
You're just wrong at everything.
It's true. Okay, but so why should Claude Giroux be on the ice for Canada? What does he bring to the team that the existing players on the roster don't already bring?
You know what? If I'd had opportunity to see the Philadelphia Flyers play in Vancouver more than once over the last 8 years, I probably would have a better answer.
Come on, you didn't watch any of those Pittsburgh Penguins, Philadelphia Flyers,
yeah, a couple, yeah,
knuckle fests that they had in the playoffs in the last couple of years? Not last year because the Flyers stunk, of course, but the year before that?
Here's what I know. Chris Kunitz, when he is not playing with Sidney Crosby, loses about 50% off of his point total.
Okay.
He's not a good player by himself. He was taken...
Not a good player or not a great player?
Okay, he was not a great player by himself. Claude Giroux has been an outstanding player for the Philadelphia Flyers for several years.
I do not think that Claude Giroux is the biggest snub this year.
Who do you think is?
I think the 2014 Sochi announcement and the 2010 Vancouver announcement
were both dreadful pieces of television.
Well, yes, of course. But the sports networks have to fill 24 hours somehow, and they can't always play UFC and poker.
No, but...
What I think they should do is combine those two and have Ultimate Fighting Poker. So you have to have better cards and straddle the guy and punch him in the face until he submits.
Can I just punch the guy in the face? Because some of those poker players are really annoying.
That's why I want that. So I believe that they share the fact that they have snubbed one of the best players in today's game. In fact, a player who, since 2010, and this is 6 years after he won his first Art Ross trophy, has more points than any other NHL player. He has 1.105 points per game, and he's only missed like two games in four seasons, okay? Martin St-Louis won the Art Ross Trophy in 2004, and he won it again in 2013. He won the Hart Trophy in 2004. He won a Stanley Cup in 2005. And he made that Tampa Bay team what it is today. He plays equally well with or without Steven Stamkos, with or without Vincent LeCavalier. He's fast. He's a good leader. He should be on Team Canada.
And he has thighs the size of fucking tree trunks.
Well, that's because he is not very tall, which is the knock against him, that he is small. But that's even more of a reason to send him to the Olympics. This guy performs at an incredible level despite being as small as he is. And the Olympic game suits him even more than the NHL game.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I would have been happy with simply not Chris Kunitz.
I would say Patrice Bergeron should be replaced by Martin St. Louis.
No, okay, now you're just talking crazy talk. Patrice Bergeron is pretty much the elite two-way forward in the NHL.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I would rather have a Martin St. Louis on my team than Patrice Bergeron. If I'm talking about a short tournament, I would rather have an elite scorer who can lead rather than a hard-nosed two-way player.
You know what?
Every time.
I actually do think that I agree with you. I would rather have Marty St. Louis than Patrice Bergeron, though. I think it's a much nearer thing than you make it out to be. I would just say that Kunitz is considerably below Bergeron.
So what you're saying is that you would rather have Marty St. Louis than Patrice Bergeron, but Patrice Bergeron rather than Chris Kunitz.
Yeah.
Even though Chris Kunitz has considerable dynamic and rapport with Sidney Crosby.
I think that is bullshit. I
You think Crosby would just set up whoever is on the
ice? Yeah, he has a history of... It's actually... Someone actually did work on this and put out a table of Sidney Crosby's line mates.
Yeah, because, you know, that Jerome Iginla kid was a bum until he played with Sidney Crosby at the 2010 Olympics.
Once you play...
A bum!
Once you play a certain amount with Sidney Crosby, there are four guys who have played really significant minutes with him over their careers.
Right.
All of them have within 1% of a 50% boost in their numbers.
Wow.
It's like...
So it's kind of like being the third guy on the Sedin's line.
Pretty much, yeah.
Anson Carter, I'm talking to you. Trent Klatt, are you listening?
Why are you suddenly the stereotypical cop boss in a bad cop movie?
Alex Burrows, turn in your badge. You're off the case. Is this where I'm supposed to say Bobrovsky? Martin Saint-Louis, one more thing about him. He played in the 2004 World Cup. Won gold, the World Cup of Hockey. He has represented Canada a couple of times. He got silver medals in the World Championships in 2008 and 2009, 10 points in 9 games in 2008, and led the tournament in scoring with 15 points in 2009. Both times they were beaten by the Russians, by the way.
But as we all know, he is a loser because Canada finished 7th in Turin.
And of course, it was all Martin St. Louis' fault.
Well, it was.
All
of it.
All Martin St. Louis' fault. And that's why he was snubbed by his own general manager, Steve Yzerman. How does Steve Yzerman go back to Tampa Bay?
Has Yzerman really been the GM in Tampa for 4 years now?
He actually was GM in Tampa, became GM in Tampa after the last Olympics. And one of the first meetings that St. Louis and Yzerman had, apparently, St. Louis' first comments was, "You made a mistake by not putting me on that team." I'm not sure, but I think Martin St. Louis was an alternate on that team, but was never called up because there were no significant forward injuries to the game. But he was one of the alternates that was listed.
Well, there's only so much leverage that you have when the team wins gold.
That's true. However, the guy has more points than any other NHL player since the last Olympics.
Yeah.
He won last year's Art Ross Trophy.
Did he really?
Yeah. It's his second Art Ross Trophy. By the way, 9 years is the longest between Art Ross Trophies in NHL history. I mean, of course, Wayne Gretzky had a very long time between his first and his last one. But I'm saying just between Art Ross Trophy wins... 9 years is how long it was since the last time Martin St. Louis won one.
Interesting.
That's the longest between two wins. The longest, I think, was 5 years before that. And I can't remember. I think it was Phil Esposito.
I will keep that little tidbit in my pocket.
Speaking of Turin, which you mentioned.
I did.
In 2006, Canada went to Turin, which is that Italy? Is that where that
yes.
was? Italy, one of the few countries to host both summer and winter games. Not too many countries have done that.
I wonder, who are the others?
Canada? Germany, I'm assuming.
Canada, USA.
Canada has done that. The US has done that. I'm sure Russia has had a... Moscow has probably had summer games at some point, you would assume. But I don't know. It's a good question. Do some research, will you? By the way, this podcast is remarkable, not just because we are actually recording.
But because we took some time prior to write some things down.
I spent 45 minutes on the internet. 45. That's a pucked in the head record, by the way.
I'm sorry, I would...
Yes?
I would just like to thank... Ian Mendez of the Vancouver Sun who basically wrote our podcast for us just a few days ago.
Whoa! Whoa! Hold on a second there, mister. He wrote your script.
All right.
You lazy bastard. Chris shows up at my house today and starts spouting things at me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I just read that. Yeah. And it was like a lot of the same information I had, except he had read it in a single article from the Vancouver Sun that was published today. Whereas I had compiled all of this information, my bad self.
It was published 3 days ago. We are not that fortuitous.
He probably read it today. So in 2006, let's get back to Turin, shall we? Eric Staal was an alternate on that team, did not play, had 100 points, was 7th overall in NHL scoring. Mark Savard had 97 points. He was 9th in NHL scoring. Jonathan Chichu, 93 points, with 10th overall in NHL scoring. They all did not appear for Team Canada. But there was one player who was better than all of them, did not appear on Team Canada.
The next one.
Sid the Kid. When he was still a kid. Sidney Crosby, rookie in the NHL.
He had 105 points that year, I think.
102 points in 2005-2006. He was 6th in league scoring. He did not get chosen for the team because he was a rookie. They didn't want to take the young players. They took all basically the same team they had at the 2004 World Cup of Hockey, which makes sense. They won gold in the World Cup, so that's fine.
Chris Draper was on that team.
Okay. So in 2006, Alexander Ovechkin, also a rookie, who barely edged Sidney Crosby for the Calder Trophy, he appeared for Russia in that tournament, okay, in the 2006 Olympics. He was named one of the tournament all-stars, and they medaled. Sidney Crosby and the other young players like Eric Staal and so forth that I already mentioned were not taken by Canada. They took an older crew.
Ryan Smith, Shane Doan.
Mid-career or late-career folks. And they did not medal. In fact, they finished in 7th place, an incredible disappointment. And get this, Sidney Crosby, because the Penguins were horrible that year, missed the playoffs despite his 100-plus points. He played in the World Championships that year, as did Alex Ovechkin, who all starred at the Olympics. Sidney Crosby led the World Championships as an 18-year-old. He led the World Championships in scoring. He was named the best forward in the tournament. He helped Canada, I think, to a gold medal, if memory serves, but did not appear at the Olympics because he was just an 18-year-old rookie.
That's a snub.
Did I mention Sidney Crosby didn't win the Calder Trophy that year? You remember that? They gave it to Alex Ovechkin.
Huh.
106 points as a rookie. No Calder Trophy.
102. You just said 102.
102 points as a rookie. That's what I meant. Did not win the Calder Trophy. How's that for a fuck you very much? Thank you, Sid. What do we want to do next? 2004 World Cup of Hockey?
No, we're just going to work our way back, sure.
2004 World Cup of Hockey, which Canada revenged their loss of the 1996 World Cup of Hockey by winning gold. Gold, I say.
Revenged? Wouldn't it be avenged?
Avenged! Their 1996 loss to the Americans, those dirty, rotten bastards from the States.
Yeah, as soon as you stop doing that voice, I really need you to smell this beer and tell me what it smells like.
Alrighty. By the way, Chris and I are drinking beer during this podcast, which may influence the amount of silliness that occurs as we progress through the various Team Canada adventures. I am currently drinking from Oregon, a Widman Brothers Winter Ale, which is lovely. And you are drinking
beer.
And he is drinking no-name beer, apparently.
What was the blonde in your fridge? We're talking still about beer just now.
Yes, please. It's a blonde ale. It is not a blonde. It's a blonde ale. And I honestly don't remember where it's from. I bought it quite some time ago. But I did buy it in the States, so it's from the Northwest somewhere.
It's quite good, but I can't pin down what it smells or tastes like.
All right. So I'll give that a sniff in a moment. 2004 World Cup of Hockey. A couple of guys who didn't make the team that probably should have made the team. Corey Stillman, who fans today wouldn't really know much about, wouldn't remember, but you got to remember, at the time, this guy was on the Tampa Bay Lightning that won the Stanley Cup in 2005. He had stats that were equal to or better than Brad Richards.
Corey Stillman won me a hockey pool.
He never got the real respect for the points he was putting up and the skill set that he had. And so he scored 80 points in 81 games. He was a plus 18 with Tampa Bay that year.
Well, playing for the Lightning also doesn't help.
But they were the cup winner. They would be a cup winner really soon. They had Brad Richards. They had Martin St. Louis, who won the Art Ross that year.
And Vinny LeCavalier, which is why Stillman didn't get any recognition.
But Brad Richards did. He ended up getting a huge payday. He won the Conn Smythe. He got a big recognition for his game. Corey Stillman never did. And didn't Corey Stillman, did he finish his career with Calgary? Or did he start his career with Calgary?
I think he started there.
Okay. But his numbers that year were as good or better than Brad Richards, who was on this team, on Team Canada that year. He did not get invited to play for Team Canada. Also, Steve Sullivan, who was always an underrated player, a lot of people thought he was okay or good. He was solid. A solid two-way player. He had 73 points in 80 games with Chicago and Nashville. He was a solid guy. Did not get an invite. But my guy that I'm picking for the snub, Mark Recchi.
Dr. Recchi. I haven't heard from him in a while.
75 points in 82 games with Philadelphia. Philadelphia was atrocious that year. He was the only guy in Philadelphia who was in the top 20 in scoring. He, unlike the Tampa Bay, just there were four guys in the top 10, I think, that year. Mark Recchi was the only Philadelphia player that was on the radar of anybody, and he still put up numbers. Penalty killing, power play. He was a faceoff guy. He had 53% or something in the faceoff circle on a woeful team. He hit. He led. He was a solid player all around. And Mark Recchi should have been on Team Canada.
And Kirk Maltby probably should not have been on.
Kirk Maltby? Was Chris Draper on that team?
Chris Draper? No, I don't see Chris Draper.
Good.
Almost rather take Draper than Maltby, though, wouldn't you?
Fucking Chris. Fucking Draper.
That's right. Fucking Chris. Fucking Draper.
Yes! That's the name on his passport.
All right.
It's true. It's a true story. Mark Recchi was the snub. He should have been on Team Canada.
So before we get too far back and we get out of the 2000s entirely.
Yes.
I know you wanted to talk about someone who should have been on several world championship squads.
Yeah, I got a little bit about Matt Molson, actually. Matt Molson, of course, played on line with John Tavares in Long Island. In 2009-2010, he got shipped to the Islanders from the Kings. He was in this Kings system. He was drafted by the Kings and got mainly played in Manchester. But he only scored 6 goals in 29 games over 2 seasons with the Kings. But when he moved to Long Island, when he went into training camp, he surprised everybody. And he was the leading scorer in preseason. He wound up sticking with the team. He wasn't expected to stick with the team. He was expected to play in their AHL affiliate. But he stuck with Long Island, with New York Islanders. He played on line with John Tavares. He scored 30 goals, 31 goals, and 36 goals in the next 3 seasons. He scored 15 goals in the shortened season, the lockout season. But, and in 2 of those years, the Islanders missed the playoffs. John Tavares got picked for the world championship team both times. Matt Molson, nothing. Not even a phone call. The next year, the Islanders made the playoffs, but they were ousted in 6 games by the Penguins, which everyone was surprised that the Islanders actually won 2 games off the Penguins because the Pens were supposed to be the big team. He did just nothing. No love for Matt Molson at all. This year so far, he's got 8 goals and 10 assists, 18 points for the Sabres.
For the Sabres. Well,
the Sabres. Remember,
the good news is that he's going to get another chance to play for the World Championships.
Yeah. Remember, the Buffalo Sabres have not scored 8 goals all season. So
right.
It's quite amazing that Matt Molson has 8 goals playing.
That almost takes talent, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, the Sabres are just awful. Oh my God, awful.
Going back now, did you have anything for the Salt Lake City Olympics?
I do. Can you tell me who is fourth all time in NHL scoring, who is third in games played all time in the NHL, and who is second all time in assists behind Wayne Gretzky, and who never wore a Canadian jersey?
Is it Cam Neely?
No.
Oh. Is it Adam Oates?
It is not Adam Oates.
Who is it?
Ron Francis.
Oh.
This is a really interesting case because most of the time when people read the top 10 list, people, even casual fans, they know who Wayne Gretzky is. They know Mary Lemieux, Gordie Howe, things like this. But they'll go, Ron Francis, who's that? And a lot of people who are just casual fans don't know who Ron Francis is. Even really big fans of the game who have come along in the last couple of years, they can't picture him playing. And it's because he was just consistent.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he was just Mario Lemieux's cabana boy.
That's a little joke there. The guy has more assists than Mario Lemieux.
Does he really?
He's second all time behind Wayne Gretzky.
Well, that does kind of make sense.
He's got 1,249. Mario Lemieux does not have 1,249 goals. Ron Francis. I would like to say thank you to Widman Brothers and their lovely winter ale. It's quite nice. It's a dark ale and it's not hoppy. I'm not a big hop fan, and this is a lovely winter beer.
Thank you, Widman Brothers.
Ran Francis
spent his entire career setting up Mario Lemieux.
He did not. And, he played and for 10 years. Yager. Played with 10 for 10 years with Hartford and Carolina. The guy was the face of the Carolina franchise. He did not spend his whole career with Mario Lemieux. 1,249 assists. That's behind only Wayne Gretzky in NHL history. He's got more assists than Adam Oates, who is like Mr. Assist.
And he never played for Canada.
Never wore a Team Canada jersey in a major international tournament. In 2002, he was in the middle of the peak of his career. He was, like I said, third in games played, fourth in points, second in assists. The guy was the picture of consistency for 20 seasons in the NHL. And 2002 was right in the middle of his wheelhouse, and he did not get an invite to Salt Lake.
But when you look at that roster, I mean, who are you going to kick out of there?
Well, so you're asking me to look at the roster? And it's hard to argue. I mean, the guy is competing with a gold medal team at that point.
Yeah.
But he didn't get invited in 98.
No.
He didn't get invited to the World Cup of Hockey.
Ryan Smith, Thorin Fleury, Simone Gagné.
I don't see those guys in the top 10 of NHL scoring.
No, but at the time, I think they were consistent. They were better overall than Ron Francis.
Ryan Smith?
Like you said.
Ryan Smith?
Smith was good.
Okay.
That's going to be...
He was
2002,
good.
Is it 1 year? What's 1 year before he took the Oilers to the finals?
Don't you talk shit about Ron Francis.
Like you said, he was consistent over a long
career. By the way,
wasn't
Ron Francis one of the front runners in the Republican National Convention before the last election?
No, you're thinking of the guy who wrote Atlas Shrugged.
Ron Francis wrote Atlas Shrugged. That's right. Very nicely done. A literary reference by Chris Withers, everybody. I'm quite impressed. Ron Francis, by the way, Hall of Famer, Hockey Hall of Famer. And now he was snubbed throughout his entire playing career from Team Canada. I'm just picking 2002 as the year that he probably should have been.
All right. I am going to go through my life forever referring to him as Ron Francis.
Yes, I will as well. It's true. Ron Francis. Next up.
Well, I got nothing between 2002 and 1998.
Okay, let's go to 98.
98.
This was, of course, Nagano in Japan, a team picked by Bobby Clark.
Yeah.
He of the breaking Karlamov's leg. He of the toothless grin.
key of the really not knowing how to build a goddamn hockey club.
Key of the attempting to sign Ryan Kesler in his second year to a restricted free agent contract.
Well, that I actually agree with.
And forcing Brian Burke to pay more money for a young player than he otherwise would have.
That I actually agree with.
That was probably a good move on his part.
Yeah, so he enamored, apparently, of Rob Zamuner's defensive abilities.
And face-offs. And don't face-offs. Forget the face-offs.
Put
Rob Zamuner. I would like, hands up all listeners out there who remember who Rob Zamuner is.
You know what? I bet a lot of people do remember who Rob Zamuner is because he was on the Nagano Olympic team instead of Mark Messier.
Mark Messier!
Why are you shouting at our listener?
I'm sure there are at least two.
All right.
It's because of the beer. Did I mention my wife and daughter are out of town?
So you're drinking a lot.
So I'm drinking more than I normally would, and I'm getting a little obnoxious. Sorry, I'm getting more obnoxious.
Yes,
I'll admit that.
A little more obnoxious.
Okay, so you say Mark Messier. Now, of course, Mark Messier, Hall of Famer, second in games played to some guy named Howe, famous for being a good leader, famous for fucking up Vancouver.
Right.
And for stripping Trevor Linden of the captaincy and just being a complete dog in a Canucks uniform. But yeah, he got 84 points in 71 games in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
He was a member of the 87 Canada Cup team. So he knew what it was to wear Team Canada colors. He had experience on Team Canada. Even Wayne Gretzky himself, when the team was announced, he was incredulous. In the media, he publicly said, Mark Messier should be on this team.
Yeah.
And he went to Bobby Clark and said, Mark Messier should be in the Olympics. And Bobby Clark said, yeah, whatever.
Hey, how good would it have been to see Gretzky and Messier playing one more time? Like, even if they still ended up finishing fourth.
By the way, Dominic Hasek, if you're listening, fuck you.
I'd also like to say fuck you to the rest of that team who wasted what would have been a performance for the ages by Trevor Linden.
Oh, Linden was outstanding in that semifinal game. And scoring that goal, like willing his way into the crease and roofing that puck to force overtime was a thing of majestic Herculean beauty.
And then they couldn't beat Hasek.
Dominic Hasek, fuck you. There are two other snubs in that Olympic.
Two others?
Two more.
All right.
Adam Oates, Mr. Assist. This is the guy who made Brett Hull what he was, who made Cam Neely what he was.
Okay. I don't know that you're being particularly fair to Brett Hull or the other guy.
Cam fucking Neely. Say his name.
Cam fucking Neely.
There it is. Adam Oates got 82 points in 80 games that year with Boston and Washington. Okay. Can I just say, Adam Oates, 15th fastest in NHL history to 1,000 points.
15th fastest.
Now, of course, Wayne Gretzky was the fastest, right? But 15th fastest in NHL history, that puts him in some pretty heady company. So in 1997, which was just before Nagano, he had scored his 1,000th point. He didn't play his 1,000th game in the NHL until 99.
Mm.
So he was well below 1,000 games when he scored his 1,000th point. This guy was an assist machine. He moved from Boston to Washington that year, and he was just very, very good. An incredible setup man.
I'm sure that would have come in handy in the shootout.
Well, they wouldn't have needed a shootout if they had a guy who could set up a goal. The reason he wasn't taken is because of his skating. that people said that he wasn't good enough on the big ice. So they were worried that...
he was 1998's Bobby Ryan.
Only for Canada.
Right.
Instead of the United States. But yeah, so Adam Oates, so that was the third biggest snub. You want to know what the second biggest snub was?
Go ahead.
And you've heard this before.
Cam Neely?
Mark Crawford did not pick Wayne Gretzky in the shootout against the Czech Republic. Fuck you. How do you leave Wayne Gretzky on the bench for anything?
You pick your top three guys.
You're shouting at our listener again.
I don't know. It's like when I watch TV shows, I hate comedians who just shout all their punchlines. I'm thinking David Schwimmer. I'm thinking Will Ferrell. These guys just shout everything, and I hate it. And yet I have two beer, and suddenly I'm David fucking Schwimmer.
You haven't even had two beer. That's like one in a bit.
I have had two glasses of beer.
All right.
And this is, I will have you know, this is an 11-ounce glass.
So you've had a pint. You had a pint of beer. This is you.
Pint and some.
A pint and 2 ounces. This is you after 1.1 pints. Say his name. I'm not saying.
Say his name.
No.
Cam fucking Neely. Adam Oates and Wayne Gretzky in the shootout were the other two big snubs from that year. So we've just finished talking about 1998, which leads us to...
Before 1998?
In 1996, we had the inaugural World Cup of Hockey, which is one of the reasons that NHL players were allowed back into the Olympics.
Because it looked like so much fun.
It looked like a lot of fun. And it was a lot of fun. In fact, I remember that. Even though Canada lost in a 3-game series to the United States in the final, it was potentially the best quality of hockey, competitive hockey, I had ever witnessed in my life. And I actually got to go to one of the World Cup of Hockey games to see Canada play Russia in a preliminary game.
Oh, I didn't even know they played here.
And it was awesome.
Hmm.
It was one of the best displays of hockey I've ever witnessed in my life. Every single player on the ice was skilled. It was outstanding. It was fabulous. However, there was one player that I'd like to talk about who did not make that team.
All right. And who probably should have, because he won a Stanley Cup later that year.
And he may be, although of course the Martin Brodeur camp would like to refute this, but he may be the best money goaltender of all time.
Certainly better than Bill Ranford.
Bill Ranford. That bastard. He stole a Stanley Cup from Cam Neely and Raymond Bourque.
He did. You don't care. Bourque got his.
Fucker. I cried at the end of that series.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You did not.
I did. I was a huge Ray Bourque fan. 1996 World Cup of Hockey. The goaltenders on that Canadian team. Bill Ranford, some guy named Marty Brodeur, and Curtis Joseph.
And no Patrick Waugh in his cup-winning prime.
No Trente et toi. No number 33.
Yeah, I got
Patrick
that.
Waugh. Holy shit. How do you leave Patrick Waugh off that team?
I don't know. Maybe they hated French players.
Martin Brodeur? Brodeur? Martin?
He's barely French.
He's not Martin. It's Martin.
You know what? Once you spend 5 years in Jersey, you're not French anymore.
I got to tell you, that tournament was outstanding. I know you're far too young to remember that. You won't remember.
I was 15.
Yeah, it's just a baby. The speed, the quality, the tape-to-tape passing.
I will too.
The coaching was good. It was outstanding hockey. That entire tournament was amazing.
I distinctly remember watching the tournament. I don't
coming
remember too
out
many
of your mother's
details.
Womb? Is that what was happening about
15
1996?
Years prior to that?
Suckling your mama's booby? Is that what you remember from 1996?
You are so old. Why are you making fun of me because I am not of your agedness yet?
I'm sorry. I got nothing. What else are you going to say about Patrick Waugh? The guy's a Hall of Famer. He won multiple cups. I mean, you look at him behind the bench of the Colorado Avalanche right now, and he looks like he could still play. Like, the guy is still young in
I don't know about play. He looks like he could shank someone in a bar.
I mean, he's always looked like he could shank somebody in a bar.
All right. So Patrick Waugh, big snub. This is what we call in the industry a segue.
All right. Or as I used to say,
a segue?
A sieg.
Sieg.
I had no idea that I was saying it wrong. I said it wrong until I was in my 30s. Until someone corrected me.
Into your 30s?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was an editor for regional newspapers. I was working for CBC Radio. I was a professional writer, and I was still pronouncing it sieg.
Everybody was just laughing behind your back. Nobody.
Yes!
All right. In 1996, Canada lost in a three-game series to the United States of America.
Yes, I mentioned that already. Yes.
Who were led by one Brett Hull.
Yes, sir.
Who, in the 1986 World Championships, was not picked by Team Canada.
As I believe he was a young player with the Calgary organization at that time. Is that not correct?
Oh, I don't know who he was playing for.
He wasn't yet with St. Louis. So, but he was drafted by the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, you're right. He of the dual citizenship could have been a Team Canada player.
Damn you, Bobby Hull!
For living in the United States.
Damn you, you drunk, philandering, wife-beating bastard!
Did he actually beat his wife? Because that's a pretty serious charge.
I believe that that's documented.
Okay, good.
I apologize if you didn't do that.
I said good just now, and I didn't mean good that he beat his wife. I meant good that it was documented.
Things are devolving quickly. I've had almost a pint and a half of the beer. So 1986, of course, the World Championship. Brett Hull, that's documented as being a pretty major turning point for Team Canada and for Team United States, because Team USA had Brett Hull for years to come. And in fact, in Salt Lake, when Canada won the gold medal, one of the big seminal moments was when Martin Brodeur came across the crease, made a great stop on a power play for the United States. A one-timer by Brett Hull in his wheelhouse, top of the circle, where he'd scored a million goals in the NHL. A million. If you check the statistics, you'll see that I'm correct. A million goals. And Martin Brodeur came across, stopped him. That was the one time that the U.S. had the chance to get back in that gold medal game.
And right.
Without that stop, we maybe would not have celebrated with Joe Sakic.
Oh, I think.
And Paul Kariya and Mario Lemieux. And all those folks when we won the gold medal. So, Brett Hull, good riddance to you, you dual citizenship bastard. We did skip something.
We did, but I had a nice segue and I wanted to use it.
Oh, you want another sieg.
And I wanted to use it.
Take your sieg.
Oh, no. I said we did skip something, but only because I had a nice sieg that I wanted to use.
Oh, I thought you had another sieg that you wanted to use.
No.
All right. So I have no segue whatsoever to go back from 1986 to 1987 and 91, amazingly.
Six consecutive 100-point seasons for this player.
Pretty amazing.
One of them, he had 155 points.
If not for Wayne Gretzky, this guy would potentially be the great one. I mean, he was scoring 130, 150 points. Like you said, six consecutive seasons over 100 points.
Gretzky and Lemieux.
Okay, Lemieux came later, though. Steve Yzerman was the complete package. This guy could score in bunches. He could set up goals. A little bit later in his career, he backed off the offensive production to become a two-way player. He became more like a Jonathan Taves, where he could be the shutdown guy. He is the guy that turned around the Detroit organization. Detroit Red Wings were shite for decades before he came along.
Yeah.
Steve Yzerman was a stud. And even to this day, still one of the most respected guys in hockey. And that's why he chooses who's on Team Canada.
And he didn't get onto either of those Canada Cup
rosters. And he was not on the Canada Cup rosters in 87 or 91, amazingly.
And you just look at some of the guys who were on that 91 roster.
So who was on the 91 team?
Well, the most obvious one, Eric Lindros. 18 years old, had yet to play. Not in even the NHL.
Yeah, that's right.
He hadn't even suited up yet for the Nordique.
And he was drafted by the Nordique, but he refused to play for them.
Yeah.
But he had done wonders at the World Juniors.
Russ Courtnall was on that team.
Russ Mullet Courtnall.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I have it on good authority that at that point in time, he was a hottie.
Was he really?
Apparently.
Whose authority?
I had a girlfriend at the time who thought Russ Courtnall was the bee's knees.
Now that is an expression I would like to know the root of.
The bee's knees. All right, I'll do some research on that for next time around. Yeah. Next time around should be sometime in 2016.
Yes. Fortunately, this is a pretty good podcast by our standards.
I've been pretty happy with it so far. Of course, no one's listening by now, so we're allowed to make that statement.
From 1987, I don't think we got anything. We go all the way back to 1972.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I only did 45 minutes of research before Chris showed up. So, unfortunately, I got back to around this era before we started recording. So, I don't have anything for previous Canada Cups, World Championships, or other tournaments until our memory of watching tape of the 1972 Summit Series. Now, of course, the biggest name that was missing from that 72 Team Canada was Bobby Orr. I mean, Bobby Orr was part of the 70 and 72.
Well, Bobby Orr was there. It's just that his knees were not.
Right. But, I mean, he was not on the ice. Like, if you looked at the roster of the NHL All-Star teams and you looked at the roster of Team Canada, you'd notice a big omission, which was Bobby Orr. He was the core player for the 1970 and 1972 Stanley Cup champion Boston Bruins. He won multiple Art Ross trophies as a defenseman, for goodness sake. But it was by then his knees had started to deteriorate, and he just wasn't ready for a September tournament in 1972. He wanted to be, and he traveled with the team. He was there for the games, but his knees just wouldn't do it. So he wasn't on the ice. But he was not the snub because he wanted to be there and Allan Eagleson wanted him there.
Yeah. The snub was Bobby Hull.
Bobby Hull, and I would even venture to say Jerry Cheevers. Jerry Cheevers was an elite goaltender. Again, two Stanley Cups in 70 and 72. One of the elite goaltenders, but he had moved to the Cleveland Crusaders of the WHL. Just like Bobby Hull had moved to the Winnipeg Jets.
So who were the goaltenders on that team? Esposito was on there.
Tony Esposito and Ken Dryden. Split duties.
Well, I mean...
And at that point, they only named two goaltenders to the team.
Yeah, it's tough to argue with that, isn't it?
So. I mean, you can't argue with those two. However, at that point in time, in 1972, Jerry Cheevers and Ken Dryden were the last two Stanley Cup champions. And Jerry Cheevers would be a Stanley Cup champion again in 72. This was, if he wasn't just moving to the WHA, he would have been in the discussion for Team Canada. But Allan Eagleson ruled with an iron fist, and it was his decision who was on the team. There was no team or committee like they have today with Steve Yzerman and Mike Babcock and a couple of other people.
Who all... got to speak at that unveiling announcement.
Yeah. But see, that's why you don't watch the unveiling. You just watch Bob McKenzie talk about the unveiling.
Why couldn't they do it like the Americans did it? That was pretty cool.
I didn't see that. What did the Americans do?
They had right after the Winter Classic, they brought a bunch of kids out and they all had the names of one of the players on the U.S. Olympic team.
So who had Bobby Ryan's name?
I would assume none of them.
You idiots.
And yeah, they like tottered towards the camera and then spun around and there was the name of one of the players.
Oh, see, now that is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Especially as a parent, I like children.
And I hate children, and I thought it was kind of adorable.
You don't hate my child, do you?
Well, no, because I don't have to spend much time around her.
Oh, there you go. Are we done with the Team Canada snubs for
now? I think
now?
We're done. I think our listeners have been done for some time now.
I noticed that now you've added an S to the word listener.
Well, I think we picked one up along the way. So.
Is that how podcasting works? I'm not sure that's how podcasting works, actually. All right, so that has been our presentation of the top Team Canada snubs of all time.
Jason, I would like to thank you for sharing your beer. Who are we kidding? He didn't share any beer with me. He drank it all himself.
That's mean and untrue. I totally shared.
All right. Well, I would like to thank you for the beer and the company. I'm not going to thank you for putting this podcast up yet, as I would like to see the proof that it actually gets done first.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Time for a change.
I think that, like many people, also think that, wow, this is really good stuff. This is the rust just shaking off of me right now. Okay. I think.
All right. Speaking of which, because we have a history of saying timely things on a podcast that is edited in a non-timely manner, Jay Onwright is going to be in town on Sunday.
Oh.
And he's going to be signing his book, Anchor Boy, Chapters.
Which chapters?
Downtown, Robson Street.
If you get this podcast edited and posted
before Sunday,
while that is still a relevant statement, you right. may keep that line in the podcast.
All right. Thank you very much. And I just wonder, how many people will go and while they're within earshot of Jay Onwright, they will say, Bobrovsky!
I know there will be one.
Yeah. I'm not naming anyone.
God damn it, Draper.
Oh, no, they're much better, much worse this year than they were last year.
All right. I don't understand the game of hockey.
There we go. We have it on record, ladies and gentlemen.
Someday I'm going to get you to sit down and explain the rules of this game to me.
After 4 years of this podcast, he finally owns it.
So at what point can I score a three-pointer? I need to pee.
You are so old.
Do racehorses pee more than just regular horses?
Andy Moog, when I was about 8 years old, personalized an autograph on a hockey card.
That's right. I remember
fucking rookie
story.
Card.
That's awesome. Andy, if you're listening, I love you. No, I love you, Moog. I'm sorry. That was really lame. But I'm laughing, and that's all that matters.
One pint. You've had one pint.
Oh, I love me. Absolutely ridiculous. I say, Martin St. Louis, if I were picking Team Canada, you'd totally be on it. Twice.
Up to 24 ounces of beer consumed.
I would like to thank the Academy. I'd like to thank Kevin Lowe. I'm not sure why, but I'd like to thank Kevin Lowe. I'm sure he's involved somehow.
In what? In your getting drunk?
In my inebriation, my partial inebriation.
When did you become an Edmonton Oilers fan?
Oh, it's not about being a fan.
Oh, well, because Kevin Lowe is responsible for the drinking problems of pretty much Alberta.
Because Alberta. Yes. Well, at least northern Alberta, anyway. The northern half of Alberta. The southern half of Alberta, I blame. Who can we blame for all of the Calgary Flames shit? Because they sucked long before Jay Feaster came along.
Jerome McGinley? I don't know.
No, it's not his fault, man. In fact, Calgary could have been a lot better today had they moved Jerome McGinley earlier than they did. They should have moved him and Mika Kiprusov about 5 years ago.
One of the Sutters?
The Sutters, of course.
Doesn't even have to be the coach or the general manager. We could just pick a random Sutter.
Just like Obadiah Sutter, yeah. some like random cousin.
Ezekiel Sutter.
Ezekiel Sutter, who lives in, like, I don't know.
Moose Jaw.
Moose Jaw? That's not really random. That's big.
I don't know too many small Saskatchewanian towns.
Damn you, Ezekiel Sutter!